Have you ever been one of those situations where you're having a conversation or you say some words to someone and it just becomes this really, really awkward moment? Have you ever had that? I remember a time where I had that. I was visiting my parents in Lethbridge, and my dad and I went to church together. I don't know where everyone else was. They went somewhere else or didn't go to church, whatever. But we decided to go to church together. And it just so happened that the pastor was preaching on James 3, which is what we're looking at today, and basically about taming the tongue and watching our words and saying the right words and not saying the wrong words and not saying bad words and just being able to really watch and control our tongue. And so for me, I'm like, hey, you know what? That's a great sermon. I really enjoyed it. I knew the pastor just a little bit. And on our way out, there was like the traditional sort of greeting where the pastor, you know, is at the door and kind of shakes everybody's hand as they leave, just to make sure they leave, I guess. I don't know. It's what pastors do. I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's the case, but so we were doing that, and my dad went ahead of me and he shook the hand, and I went and I said, hey, pastor, that was a great, his name was Bruce. I said, that was a great sermon. Thank you so much for that. That guy, he really needed to hear it. And I pointed to my dad. And it was one of those things where I thought I was being funny, like just kind of goofy, sarcastic, teasing my dad a little bit. And for both of them, they just did not get it. They thought it was kind of offensive that I was being mean. And I was like, no, that's not what I meant at all. That's not what I meant. I was just being silly. And turns out the pastor had no idea who I was, even though I'd met him a few times. And so we had to make it a little bit better. And I think in the car, my dad said, like, what was that? I don't know. It was just a blip. Impulse issue. I don't know what it was. But, you know, once in a while, we just say things or do things. We're like, I wish I could have a do-over and do that again. This weekend, I've been doing, I have mostly old cars, not because they're cool, just because they're old and they're paid for. And once in a while, I have to do some work on them. And this weekend, I was doing some work on our one of our old cars. And you know how sometimes you do, like if you do any mechanical work or you're doing any sort of project, and everything that could go wrong goes wrong. That's what was happening to me. And I had to replace some brake shoes, not the. You know, the rotor and all that kind of stuff, but some brake shoes in a drum brake, which means that you have to use, if you've done drum brakes ever, and probably for 75% of the room, you're like, make this a quick story because I have no idea what you're talking about. But there is this thing, I'll try to explain it as best I can and as quickly as I can. So you have to hold this pin that keeps moving, and then you have to put it through the brake, and then you have to, like the bracket, and then you have to put a washer on it, then a spring, and then another washer that holds it together, which is actually kind of the whole bracket that holds the pin. And then you have to like squish it and twist it so that it stays, which is great, except for the fact that it's about this big. So you can't, like the space is this big, so you can't put your fingers in there. You got to use tools like needle-nose pliers or small screwdrivers and those sorts of things. And it's the most frustrating thing in the world to put together. Maybe not in the world, but it's very frustrating. And then I did some other things, and I had to do some gear oil for the transfer case. Got it gear oil all over me, which really stinks bad. Like it smells like oil meets skunk is the best way I could describe it. It just reeks. And I got this all over my hands, all over my driveway, and it was just a mess. And I had this thing in my mind, I'm like, I have to face a bunch of people and tell them that I did not say bad words. So thank you for the accountability, because the whole time I was like, oh, that's frustrating. It didn't really help, but I was able to get through that whole project without saying any bad words. Hey, awesome. Yeah, cool. I don't know about next week when I do another project, but this one, it worked. But you see, James warns us that our words are hard to control. Our tongue is hard to control. And sometimes our words get us in trouble. And our words can also sometimes cut others down. So let's look at the passage today, James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. It's called Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is ever at fault, who is never at fault in what they say, is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check, which of course is no one except for Jesus. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Could both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? That'd be cool. But neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So last week we talked about how faith without actions, faith without deeds is dead. And actions, I read a quote by Mark Twain this week, and it says, actions speak louder than words, but not nearly as often. Actions speak louder than words, but not nearly as often. We see, we're quick with our words, but not necessarily quick with our good actions, are we? And hopefully, there are times where our actions and our words align and maybe happen at the same time, but usually not as frequently. But you know that words, we know, and we've seen it, we've experienced it, we've received it, we've given it. Words can hurt. Words can sting. And you know that, you remember that thing we used to say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Yeah, that's not true, is it? It's a different hurt, but it's usually longer lasting, right? Much longer lasting, because words can be very hurtful. It doesn't leave bruises, but it does leave wounds within our brain, within our heart, within our soul. And we have these tongues, these things in our mouth that are hard to control, impossible to control on our own steam and our own power. And so James talks about the bit that's in a horse's mouth, and a horse can be hard to steer without that bit. Because it's like, hey, horse, go to the right. Well, a horse doesn't know left from right. You got to pull the bit to be able to help this horse steer. And if only our tongues were as easy to control as a bit to be able to steer a horse. Or even the rudder. Now, it's amazing how boats, like a huge boat, can have like this proportionately small rudder to be able to steer the course of the ship slightly and to take it where it wants to go. And sometimes it works really well, and sometimes, I don't know, I have this feed with it where it's like shipwrecks and where they didn't steer very well and crash boats. It's kind of an interesting thing, and but you need to have that rudder in your boat to be able to steer it where it needs to go and for it to be able to go where you want it to. If only we had that for our tongue. And then he talks about that spark that can start a fire in a forest. A small spark in the right circumstance of fuel and air can cause significant damage. I mean, every once in a while here in Edmonton, we smell the effects of forest fire with the smoke that we have during the summer months. And sometimes we have to keep our windows closed. And a lot of times that's just because of a small spark. Well, it might be lightning, which is a big spark, right? But sometimes all it takes is a small spark with the right circumstances of dry brush, and it creates a huge damaging fire. And so there's these things within our lives that cause this spark to happen and causes a wildfire that starts with just some words. And it might be things that we need to control within our lives. It might be telling a lie. And it might be a little lie, or it might be a big lie, or it might be just a half-truth, or it might be omitting the truth. But that, again, is our tongue lighting a fire in our lives and in our relationships. It might be an unkind word that we say about someone or to someone. And sometimes it's to kind of gain control of others. And so we say something unkind so that they feel a little off balance, and then we have a little more control in the relationship or in the conversation. Sometimes our tongue gets us into trouble when we gossip about others. You know that word gossip. And sometimes we do it as Christians. We're like, oh, I have a prayer request about so-and-so. Have you heard that one, right? Oh, did you hear that this person, we need to pray for them. And we think that if we put prayer on it, that it's not gossip. But friends, we know deep down that it's actually gossip. It's gossip. It's not our story to tell. And it might be just a rumor we heard, but it's not a confirmed story, and it might be running someone down. And that's the other thing where we get into trouble, is running other people down, creating a scandal of someone, or looking for evidence everywhere. And there's this term that's thrown around a lot, which is called confirmation bias, which is the tendency to interpret new evidence as confirmation of something we already believe exists. And a lot of times that's about people that we know, or people that we hear about, or people that are in our society or in leadership. That once we have a conclusion about someone, all the information that we hear about them confirms what we already think we know in the conclusion we've made. And so that's something we need to work against so that we can keep an open mind about other people, as opposed to looking for reinforcement to have an opinion about someone. Another way that our tongue gets us in trouble is basically with fighting or arguing with other people and provoking other people and causing anger in others and expressing anger from ourselves as well. And fighting often happens within relationships, within interactions with people. And then we see this in our society a lot, which is the next one, which is polarizing. Our tongues and our words can be polarizing from other individuals. And it's basically taking that fighting and keeping the fighting going by moving further and further away from others who are working against any common ground that we might have. And you see this within our society right now, don't you? Particularly within politics. We've got the far right, we've got the far left. And anything left of right, sorry, this worked out really well as I was thinking it through and I didn't write it down, right? Anything left of right is far left. Anything right of left is far left. And there's nothing in between anymore. And there's no bridge to help us to figure it out. And it's been divisive within our society, divisive within our politics, divisive within our churches. But we always need to remember, friends, that our churches are not based on political policy. Our churches are based on the truth of Jesus Christ. And as we focus on Jesus, that is the bridge that binds us together. And I know that there are people within this room who probably are a little more left-leaning or a little more right-leaning. But friends, we are together because we believe in Jesus. And it's not about our political agenda, our political views. It's about Jesus coming to this earth and saving this earth. And I know that there's a mix of things, because we can't get away from all of these conversations and social media and the popular media and all the other things make it so that we're supposed to have politics and church mixed together. But you know what, friends? When I look at the example of Jesus, he didn't get involved in politics, did he? He didn't get involved in controlling this world. What he did get involved in is saving people, in spreading the message of himself, in helping us to know God. Because that's still more important. And so we need to be active politically, but at the same time, we need to also be bridge builders of other people and with other people, particularly when it comes to the message of Jesus. So another way that our tongues get us in trouble, and this is probably one of my hard parts because I really like to have humor, but sometimes humor dabbles into what we call sarcasm, right? And sarcasm is one of those things where it's like, it's kind of funny, but ooh, that kind of stings a little bit, right? And sarcasm is something where we really need to be careful with how we are using it and how we're not hurting people with it. And so that's something that our tongue can sometimes get us in trouble. But you see, controlling our words can be a really significant challenge within our lives. And even for the Apostle Paul, his focus on what Jesus had given him, but he still struggled at times to be able to really have his words. But here's what he tried to do in Romans 15, verse 18. And he said, I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, what I have said and done, by what I have said and done. So when we look at the words that we say, how do we apply something like James 3 to our context today? And how do we apply this passage in our words that are spoken? But they're only a small part of the bigger picture of what we experience today in this modern world of technology and electronic communication and the words that we hear, but also the words that we type and the words that we communicate, because speaking our words is only one of many ways that we communicate in this day and age, isn't it? And it's hard because what we take in forms what we put out. And what we take in sometimes is really hard to discern because information in this day and age is cheap. It's inexpensive to get information. And it's even compounding and expanding so much more with AI because we can get a more thorough answer than we did from just Google, right? We can get a pretty thorough answer. And it's scary because I read a headline just this morning that people are putting more value into AI than they are in their medical doctors, even if AI is completely wrong. Friends, it's scary what's going on these days. It's scary what's going on. And what technology will provide for us and what we think is great also has some drawbacks because it's absolutely free. It's expensive, it's cheap, and we don't know where it's coming from. That's the thing. Information is also relentless. It's always coming at us. It never stops coming at us. You open your phone, you've got 7 different notifications of things that happened in the world, and they might have happened 5 minutes ago. The other thing is information is completely anonymous. A lot of times you have no idea where the information is coming from. It's completely anonymous. It is also autonomous. It has absolutely no accountability for what information is out there. And people will put wild stuff out there, and then it comes into feeds, it comes into AI, and it's just absolutely uncontrollable. And then also that information that comes at us is always biased. It always has something, some sort of agenda that comes at us and some sort of slant. And we need to be discerning about what is coming at us. But here's the thing. It's not about that information, but it's about things that keep changing within our society. And when you think about things like words and definitions and pronunciations and words we shouldn't use and words we should use and words that our kids snicker. I was a speaker at youth camp one time, and every once in a while I'd say a word or a statement and everybody would start laughing. And I'm like, I was not telling a joke right now. Why are you laughing? It was because I said something and I'm quite a bit older than they are. And I used a word that used to be cool or meant something when I was their age. Well, it means something completely different, and it was funny because it was kind of inappropriate. I don't remember what the word was, but But we need to be really aware of what our words mean, and sometimes they change a little bit. But here's the thing. We have things like emails are a significant form of communication for us, aren't they? And sometimes we're not very careful with the words we choose of email. We don't think about the fact that, well, it's devoid of emotion. They're not seeing the facial expression that I'm having. And it might be I'm smiling like this, but it's an email that has a lot of mean words in it, right? Well, sarcasm doesn't come through email, does it? And just because you put a smiley face at the end of the sentence doesn't mean that they're smiling or that it's funny. And sometimes there's these things like, I like to use dot, dot, dot. Well, if you don't use dot, dot, dot properly, then people are like, well, that sounds ominous. I don't know what's going on, right? For me, it's just, I'm starting a new sentence. That's all it means, which is really a period, but I like to use three. But then you've got things like DMs, which are completely spontaneous interactions in short form that have long-lasting effects, especially if we don't use them and say them carefully. And then there's texts, which are basically like DMs, but they're people that you know a little bit more because they actually have your phone number as opposed to just your social media account. And so they actually know you enough to have those digits, right? If somebody has your digits, then I hope that's still a cool word. I don't know. But they know you a little bit more. And then you put some emojis in it, and sometimes the emojis are disconnected. Sometimes the emojis are misinterpreted because they might not mean what you think they mean, and then you've got to be all, like, apologetic. And then there's punctuation. I have certain people that will text me, and it's all caps, and they use a lot of exclamation marks, and all I think of is, why are you yelling at me? Right? And those are the things that come across when we think about texts and emails and all those things. And then we read online, and anytime you buy something, or maybe it, even if you're choosing a church, you're going to look at the Google reviews. And Google reviews are those things where we can just share our opinion that is always biased and based on one small experience to be able to give a person from 0 to 5 stars and then say really nice things or really mean things about them. And I've been to restaurants before where I had a great experience and shared with the server. I'm like, this was a great experience. And they're like, hey, can you share that experience on Google? And I'm like, it kind of takes away from it, actually. I know that you want that and you need that, but I just want to interact with you, you know? But we have all these ways to be able to use our words and communicate our words to be able to build each other up or build other people up, or to cut them down, ruin their reputation, ruin a relationship, ruin a lot of things when we're not careful with our words. And it all comes back to this little thing within our mouth, which when you think about it, it's kind of a weird thing, right? The tongue, it's like sort of fleshy, but it has skin on it, and it's got all these little like bump taste bud thing. Like, it's kind of a gross thing when you think about it, right? Like, the tongue is a weird thing. But it's something where it's such a powerful organ within our mouth, within our body, that really communicates a lot of what's inside. And it's this unstoppable force that causes us to sometimes regret what it does. When I was a child, I was completely healthy, and they put me in my mom's arms, and they said, "Well, there's something wrong with your son." And my mom was so worried, and she's like, "Well, what could it be?" Like, she's, you know, a mom. Like, you tell her there's something wrong with her baby, and your mind just goes to the worst case scenario. And they said, "Well, he's tongue-tied." And she's like, "What? What's tongue-tied?" And then, "Well, he's tongue-tied." And she's like, "Well, that seems like not a big deal." So she was so upset by how they presented it that she didn't get that corrected. And so when I was in high school, all the way up to high school, I was tongue-tied, which did not slow down my speech and did not affect my words at all. But it was something where I had, like, basically your tongue is attached from the end, and it has that little piece of skin that holds your tongue in your mouth. I don't know. And it was just, it was really hard to eat ice cream because my tongue was like an eighth of an inch long when I could stick. So I was like, and it just really was kind of frustrating. And so I'm like, hey, I want to eat ice cream better. So I decided in high school that I was going to have like, it became a major surgery. When you're a baby, they just clip it. But when you're an adult or almost an adult, you have to go through. So I had to like be put under, and it was a big deal. And the nurses were teasing me, well, why do you want your tongue tied? You want to tease the, and you know, it's like weird. Anyway, so I had surgery to be able to release my tongue. And since then, it's just gotten me in trouble. I eat more ice cream more efficiently when I go out for ice cream with my friends. I talk a lot about ice cream. And you know, I'm sorry for those who really like vanilla. I was really mean to vanilla last week. And I hope you heard what I really meant about vanilla ice cream. It is good with pie and those sorts of things. But, you know, if vanilla is your favorite ice cream, I don't judge you. It's okay. You can like vanilla. We all kind of like vanilla, but there's better flavors out there. Give it a try. So anyway, I'm no longer tongue-tied, and I'm able to eat ice cream, and I'm able to, for some of you, you're like, well, he's able to talk faster, because some of you have given me feedback that I talk really fast when I'm up here. But the thing is, this tongue that's within my mouth at times reveals what I feel, reveals what I think, reveals what I take in, what I study, where I spend my time, reveals my inner thoughts. And sometimes I'm not able to filter the things that come out of what's inside. And it's an expression of what happens and what's going on inside. So it's this small little organ, but it's mighty, it's powerful. It's relentless. Words come to us and out of us without effort. And the greatest effort is not to find the words, but to find the right words to be able to say. Mother Teresa said, words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness. Have you thought about that? Words that do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness around us. Friends, when we take the time to carefully choose our words, we're presenting Christ. And when we're careless with our words, sometimes we are presenting darkness into the world. So how do we do this? How do we control this tongue? What do we do with this? Well, first of all, we need to talk less, listen more, which I've said before, but listen more, but also listen to yourself. What are the words that are coming out of your mouth? What are the words that you're saying to others? And ask yourself, should I say this? Is this kind? Does this sound like Jesus? And if it doesn't, then listen to those words and make some changes within the words that you say. But also listen to others and some of the feedback that they might give you. Hear that feedback and ask yourself, what is my reaction to the feedback that I'm receiving right now? Is it defensive? Is it angry? Is it introspective? Or is it open? Open to hearing that criticism or open to hearing their feedback of the words that come out of my mouth. And sometimes it's the words, not just the words that come out, but it might be the facial expression and the non-verbal communication that comes out as well. We can say things like, oh, I love you. We say, I love you, right? Sounds a little bit different, doesn't it? But friends, what we need to gain in our lives is wisdom. Wisdom to discern the information that's coming at us, but also wisdom of processing it, of filling our lives with good things, good words, so that the tongue that reveals our heart is filled with wisdom, because the tongue exposes the inner world. Back to the teachings of Paul in Romans He says this, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. What are our priorities when we think about all the things that we're taking in? Is it about gratification of us, or is it about growing in our walk with God? I found a good example, alliteration, by a guy named Brian Eggert. He's a pastor in Maine. I don't know him, but he had a good acronym for us. And here's what it is. Think. 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 So when we're thinking of words that we want to say, stop and think. So the first letter of think is two, is T. So is it true? Is what I'm about to say true? Not just true to me, but is it true? Is it true? Secondly, H, is it helpful? Is it helpful for me? Is it helpful for others? Think about it. I, inspiring. Is this inspiring of someone, or is it cutting them down? N, is it necessary? See, when we stop at this one, necessary, suddenly we say a lot less words. So it's like, is this really necessary? Not really. Well, maybe I'll just sit here and look wise, right? Because a lot of times when we're not talking, we look a lot more wise because it's like, what is that person thinking? Wow, they're really smart. They've said nothing this whole time, right? Isn't that funny how we think that? It might be just that they're tired. Who knows? But is this necessary? And then K, is it kind? Because the thing is, this world needs a little more kindness, doesn't it? And not kindness just for kindness sake, but there are ways that we can be kind towards others. And so when you think about words that you want to speak, think before you speak. And remember this acronym of THINK. And then we can also, because we can have this beautiful acronym, we could try to think, but at the same time, it's not by our own power. But James tells us to rely on God's power. Seek God's help. To be thankful to God when gratitude is our value, just like we're focusing on thankfulness right now on this Thanksgiving weekend. When we have a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude towards God, you know what happens? That makes it out into our words, words of thankfulness. So seek God's help, thanking God for the ways that He is leading you and the things that He has done for you and what He is doing in you and through you. The second way is imitating Jesus. When you look at the words of Jesus, when you look at the life of Jesus, are you imitating Jesus with your life in the words that He says? I'm not saying you should speak in Greek or Aramaic, but what I am saying is read the words of Jesus that you would read in your Bible in English and follow the example and imitate Jesus with your life. And thirdly, always recognize that it's through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that you are able to have the wisdom and self-control to be able to control your tongue, control your words, and that we don't have to do this alone. Because we have the Holy Spirit within our lives who guides us, who empowers us, who gives us the fruits of the Spirit, and one of them is self-control. And that helps us with our words. And also not doing it alone and just relying on each other and keeping each other in check a little bit in kind ways, but helping each other to be able to control our words and to speak words of kindness and helpfulness. So just a few reflections as we close our time together. First one is, can you think of times when you were not in control of your words? They got away on you. And they lit some fires, and maybe you got in trouble, or maybe you hurt some people around you. Can you think of a time? And are you using wisdom to interpret the information around you? The things that you're taking in, are you discerning? Are you using wisdom as you take in all the information that's coming at you and is shaping you and shaping your words and shaping your views? Thirdly, how can you apply your faith to your words by relying on the wisdom of God, the compassion of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit? Number four, how can you apply think to your words? Or is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Who can help you? As well as the Holy Spirit, but who can help you? And if I were to put a final one in there, is there someone that you need to approach and make things right? Maybe you've said some unkind words to them. And as you reflect and as you spend quiet time with God, it's kind of eating at you and bugging you a little bit, and you just want to go to that person and say, you know what, I'm sorry for saying this. And they might not remember, but they might. It doesn't hurt to apologize usually. But to take responsibility for the words that maybe we were careless about and going to that person and making it right, that might be something you need to do. Let's have a word of prayer together. God, we just thank you that these words of James are so challenging for us. Because, Lord, we all have this ability to communicate with others. And sometimes we're good at it. Sometimes we're edifying. Sometimes we're encouraging. Sometimes we bring glory to you, God. And other times we are cutting people down. Sometimes we're being mean. Sometimes we're being hurtful. Sometimes we're just being complacent, and those things come across. And God, we ask for your forgiveness for the times that we have not chosen good words. And Lord, help us through the example of your Son, the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, to control this wild thing within our mouth called the tongue. So that, Lord, with you, we can bring glory, that we can edify others, that we can build each other up. Lord, that we can call out injustice, but also to be able to bring people to you, and to be an example to others, to have wisdom, insight. Lord, that we would be people that speak your truth into this world. Thank you, God, for giving us the ability to control our words.